Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at our vision and our mission and our ethos as a church. And this morning, I'd like to look at church membership, what it is to be part of the church. And is it biblical that there are many who flip from one place to another and never really commit themselves to anywhere for any period of time? Now, I'm not talking, there are times in our lives when we have circumstances, aren't there, where we're unsettled, or you're in a church, or maybe some of our own, you're in a church and things change so much, and that's been the place where you've loved and you've given yourself for many years, and it's very hard to find somewhere that once that happens. But nevertheless, we believe, and I believe, that there comes a time in all of our lives as Christians when we come to a place where we say, I want to commit myself to a certain local fellowship with all that it involves. And there are many, there aren't many, there are those that you will come across and they will argue why there isn't such thing as church membership in the Bible. And when you look at their reasoning for it, I don't believe it's scripturally based. If you take time to look at the Word of God, the Word of God talks about the fact that we should take accountability very seriously. There comes a stage in our Christian walk where we say we need to be part of somewhere so that we become accountable, so that we come under the submission of the eldership, of the leadership. We read there in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Now, some of these verses are quite difficult for us, not difficult to understand, but difficult for us to swallow sometimes, because it doesn't matter who we are, from the most outgoing of us to the quiet ones that are sensitive, we have this spirit within us that says, who are you to tell me what to do? I am my own man. Well, Hebrews tells us, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And you see, we're not talking about a slave and a slave master, someone who beats and rules with a rod of iron. We're not talking about that sort of ruler. We're talking about someone who is like a father figure, who cares for your soul, that wants you to go to heaven. There's coming a day when each one of us will have to stand before God. There's coming a day when each one of us will come to a place where we will either stand naked before God, or we will stand in the presence of God covered in Christ Jesus. And those who have to rule over you, those who are elders, pastors, they are there to just bring you to that place where you can enjoy the things of Christ. And not only enjoy the things of Christ, but to know that you're secure. There's nothing worse, and I've been there, there's nothing worse than standing at the bed or sitting at the bed of someone who's dying, and they have no assurance. They don't know where they're going. They don't know if they will be saved on the other side. They've given their life for all kinds of things, but Christ has never been a reality to them. It's a very important verse, this Hebrews 13, and it's one of those. Verses that, as I said, it stirs our emotions up. Because you see, Christians don't want to be submissive and find all kinds of reasons why they shouldn't be. And often you find ministers have given up watching out for the souls under their care. And the church becomes like a ship without a rudder and adrift. The church is a place where God sets a man apart, an eldership apart, to care for the people. You know, when you go on holiday and you drive through the countryside, and take Wales for example, and you drive through the hills and there's sheep everywhere. And you could almost imagine that they are sheep without a shepherd, but then you realise they've got spray on them, maybe green or yellow or red or black, they're all different colours. And you realise actually they do have a shepherd, and there is a shepherd that knows where these sheep are. And he comes and he calls them and he brings them to himself and he looks after them. And you see, it's the same in the church. You wouldn't just leave people. God hasn't just saved you and left you to wander around the world. He raises up a man to come and share his word, to feed his soul, and to encourage. And we come together. And part of the work of the church, the glory of the church, is us rubbing together. And sometimes we don't always get on. Sometimes there are difficulties, but in those difficulties, as we read the scriptures, as it talks about the fact that we are to love one another, we are to prefer one another above ourselves, that we are to encourage one another and bless one another and seek one another's good. The world looks on and they see something wonderful. For those who are members, we need to consider as well whether or not we are living the way God intended. Being part of a local church is not some club where we come to socialise. If you just come to socialise, it means nothing at the end of the day. There are other things that we go to socialise and have more excitement. We come into the house of God to worship God. That's our first and primary thought. Well, maybe it isn't always. Maybe we've had a fallout with a wife or a husband. Or maybe the kids have not been as they should. Or you've had a sleepless night. And you know you've got to get to the house of God. And you come to the house of God and you're not ready. Well, really, we should be ready even then. Bible says, Paul writes to Timothy and says, be instant in season and out of season. He says, Paul, when you are preaching from the front, when you are sharing with your parishioners, your flock, you should be ready to feed them. You should be ready to advise them and encourage them. You should always be ready, even when you go to the doldrums. Even when you're in that place where you've got the weight of the world upon your shoulders, you should be ready to encourage and to build up a flock. It says there in Psalm 95, doesn't it? Verse 6. The psalm says, oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. That's what we've been called to do this morning, first and foremost. Whether we are a member of the church or not, we are a member of the church of Christ worldwide. We come and we gather, and we come and worship and kneel before our Lord and Maker. We have, through the shed blood of the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have become citizens of heaven. And we should be coming to worship. There should be that desire. There should be that excitement. You know, if you're sick and you're laid aside and you're not able to come out to the house of God, there should be that emptiness. There should be that frustration. There should be that desire. I dread the day that I become an old man and I cannot come out to that. Cannot come out to the house of God. Just love the people of God. It's the place where we are fed and we are blessed and we are encouraged. It is the place that God has given as a gift to the people of God. Our role in the church is the most important thing that we can do. Above our family, our friends, our work, holidays, hobbies. There's lots of things that can fill our lives. But the most important thing we can do is to be part of the local church. It's to seek out a place where we can worship. It's really hard. Because you can move into an area and you can go from one church to another and you think, I don't belong here. The times you sat in a church and the man has got up to preach or the woman has got up to preach and you think, whoa, what are they saying? In fact, someone was WhatsApping me just yesterday. And they'd gone somewhere and they were sitting in a wedding. And it's a famous preacher that was preaching and they said, I just can't believe what they're saying. They've not fed my soul. In fact, one of the emphases of the meeting was this marriage. It was this. So you as a congregation, if you want their marriage to last, you need to be nice to them. Well, so, that's not biblical. You know, whether people are nice to me or nice to Wendy is not a determination of whether our marriage will last. Our marriage is, I've made a vow before God. Forget Wendy, I made a vow before God. To love, to honour and obey her. Not obey, to love her. To cherish her. She obeyed me. It doesn't always work. But anyway, but we made a vow before God, didn't we? That we would have a life together, we would become one flesh. And no matter how you treat me, we stand together strong. And you see, you want to seek out a fellowship where the pastor draws out the word of God. Pastor makes it living. There will be weeks when it's dry. You know how it is, you come home at night, or remember when you were kids and you want to do mince and potato and peas. I used to make mince potatoes and peas, I love it now. I used to hate it. And then the next night you might have spaghetti bolognese, it's just amazing. And you see, preaching can be like that. Both keep you alive. You see, the mince and the potatoes keep you alive, and so does the spaghetti bolognese. Whatever you eat, it keeps you alive, and it's the same with preaching. There will be times when you'll be struggling and you won't quite get it. But you don't know what God is doing in your heart. Just to make it clear, we're not talking about someone who has a passing interest in a place. This is, when we talk about membership, it's not someone who just has a passing interest. Rather, we're talking about those who have put their eggs into one basket and are committed to the regular meeting of God's people in a particular place. Now, we live in a very difficult day. We're not in, remember years ago, you know, some of you may be able to remember, I'm right on the side, but when the old villages where people used to gather in a church and the way the community was set up, they'd all be there. But these days, what's happening is that people work in the schools and they work in the healthcare service and there are such jobs that demand so much time. It's very difficult to be at every meeting. But there should be that desire. There should always be that desire that I want to be in the house of God. I want to be where the people of God are. There was a time when you had a factory job, an ordinary factory job where you when I was in the factory it was 7:30 till 4:30, and that was a regular time, so I could go to the meetings at night, but now it's not the same, is it? You can have shift work where you're working 4 nights a week or 5 nights a week, or you can be working for I don't know, 2 weeks more or less every night, and you haven't got time to get out, but you want to be part of the local church, and you come to the pastor and you say, I can't be at all the meetings, but I want to be there. I want to give him my time. I want to be part of it. But what I can tell the pastor is this, that I will pray. I tell the pastor what I will do is I will message you and ask you what I need to pray for. I want to be part of the work. We're living in a very messy, messy society. So we are talking about those who are in the battle, who are there at the coalface praying for the lost, for the witness of the church. Those who want to be part of the work of Jesus Christ. Those who want the glory of Christ to be seen in this place. Those who want the lost to be drawn from around the church. This should be the desire of those who become a member of God's church. As we look at Hebrews 13 verse 17, two questions occur to us. Firstly, if there is no biblical reason to belong to a church, then which leaders should an individual Christian obey and submit to? Who do we submit to? Which elders? Do we submit to all the elders of Coventry? In a sense, there should be that element where you give the elders the honour they deserve, and I don't mean in the sense that they are more special than anyone else, but they are immensely part to lead in the things of Christ, and it's not a bad thing to go and seek advice. You know, I don't think that is a bad thing. But you see, often you find those who make everybody their leader around the church never actually submit to anybody. Never become committed to anything. Secondly, and more personally, who will I as a pastor give an account for? If there's no real such thing as church membership, a local gathering, who do I give account for? You know, when I stand before God on judgment day, when I have to give an account of all those that I have shepherded and cared for, who are they? The whole of church life is about two concepts that we find very hard to swallow. One is authority, and the other is submission, and that is to the local church. And the scriptures clearly command Christians to submit to an honour, an elder body. It says there, we just read that in Hebrews 13:17, but in 1 Timothy 5 it says this: let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honour, especially those who labour in the word and doctrine. There are those elders who rule. And again, as I say, this is not a rule of domination, but this is a rule of caring and leading and guiding. There's the old illustration, isn't there? I remember there was a man called David Shepherd, an old evangelist. He went to Israel. And as he got off the plane, in those days it wasn't like our airports now where you've got all these buildings around, but you'd land in Israel and you could see the hills and the fields. And as he was coming off the plane, he spoke to one of the guides and he saw some sheep being driven. And he said to the guide, now listen, I always thought the shepherds in Israel guided the sheep. I didn't think they drove the sheep. And the guy said, oh, that's the butcher. The butcher's driving the sheep. Well, you're not called to be a butcher. The elder, the pastor is not called to be the one who drives the sheep. But he's set apart to lead the sheep. To take them to places where he would go himself. Takes him to a place where often you will come, God will take a pastor and you will go through things that lots of people in the church have gone through, and there are times you think, Lord, I don't want any more of this. But the Lord will say, I'm taking you through this so you understand. So you can guide and you can encourage the folk as they go through their various difficulties. So then if there is no understanding of the local church membership, who do we submit to and who do we obey? Is it anyone with the title elder from any church? Should we as Christians obey and submit to those who water down the word of God? Surely it is to those who are set apart by the Holy Spirit and have the Word of God as their guide. They're the ones that we submit to. The Bible is very clear about it. Those who are called by the Holy Spirit, those who take hold of the Word of God and they open it up with sensitivity and power and authority. If you've been listening to the radio this week, the world has had its go at the Reformation and they're trying to turn it into something it wasn't. And they're watering it all down. There's been a man as well this week, I wish I could remember his name, an archaeologist I think, or a historian. He's been looking at how fire has affected religions and water has affected religions. And he's masked Christianity into the whole melting pot as if it was just a bunch of people having these fanciful ideas about water and fire and it's lost its power. Well, that's not the case. The case is if you take the Word of God, you will see how from way back in Genesis, God has led his people. And our heritage, our roots are founded there in the Garden of Eden, where the Lord himself sacrificed his first animal, reminding us that your salvation, your standing in Christ is found there. And it's to those men we go, those who open up the scriptures, those who love the Lord with all their heart. Concerning the second point, the scriptures clearly command an elder body to care for, it clearly commands us to care for specific people. There we read in 1 Peter 5, it says, "The elders who are among you I draw, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock, as we've said. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another, and be clothed in humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble." It's to God's people that we shepherd. I'm not a social worker. Yes, there will be, these things will come out of us being what we should be. But so easily we can be distracted. We can be distracted to do the things of the world, get involved in the food banks. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. But if they distract you from the Word of God, it is good to help and encourage and to clothe and to do all these things. But if it takes you from the Word of God, you have to ask the question, what hope is there for the people? I could organise, you know, if someone's out of work, you'll do all you can to find a place where they can get to it. Because you care for them. But if that dominates everything, and you're not there on a Sunday preaching the Word and opening it up to the people of God, they've got nothing to feed on. You know, you're working in a high-pressure job and you come here on Sunday morning and you come to be fed. And you want to be encouraged and you want to go away into the week knowing that God has spoken to you. But the pastor's been too busy fixing Mr. Jones's fence and Florrie's shoes and involved in the food bank down there and involved in this. He's involved in all these things. We haven't got time to feed the flock. See, the Bible's very clear that we are to serve the flock, and that is in opening up the scriptures. In Acts 20 verse 29, the Apostle Paul says this. He's leaving the Ephesian church. and there they are, they're gathered with the elders, and he gives them a warning. He says to them that there in Acts 20 verse 29, I know this, that after my departure savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing a flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up speaking perverse or twisted things to draw away the disciples after themselves. He say, listen elders, you've got to make sure the people know the word. You've got to make sure that they understand what the scriptures are about. As a pastor, I am responsible for all the Christians. As a pastor, am I responsible for all the Christians in Coventry? There are many churches in Coventry that I struggle with doctrinally. Will I give account for what they teach, how they spend their money, and what they do concerning evangelism? Whether at home or abroad, no. When I stand before God, God will say, what did you do with the flock at Durbar Avenue Church? How did you teach them? How did you feed them from my word? How did you encourage them? How did you encourage the members to carry on in the battle? How did you encourage those members who had given themselves to the work there as they struggled with divorce, with children that are wayward, with homes that were falling apart, and illness and sickness that has ravaged their lives? How did you encourage them? How did you feed them from my word? Oh, but I was making sure that the food bank was stocked full of food, and I was making sure that this was done and that was done. And the Lord said, well, that's not what I called you to do. I called you to feed the flock. I'm accountable to you. One day God will ask, what have you done? Well, church discipline, this is a difficult one. None of us like to be disciplined. None of us, and I think that's the case sometimes, people don't want to become members because they want to come under the discipline. And as leaders, we don't want to discipline. We don't want to stand and tell someone, look, what you're doing is wrong. But what we try and do when we're in that situation is sit down and understand and encourage and guide people away from certain situations. There are times when you have to make hard choices for the sake of the lost. It says there in 1 Corinthians 5 verses 1 to 12, Paul confronts the church in Corinth for approving of a man walking in blatant, unrepentant sexual immorality. The Corinthians were celebrating. This is God's grace. Paul warns them that this type of wickedness shouldn't make them boast. Rather, listen, you need to get back to the word of God. What is the word of God teaching you on this? You preachers, how are you dealing with this situation? It is lacking in many churches, this whole business of church discipline. And the question is, and when Paul's asked it says, look, you've got to ask that man to leave if he will not repent. And the question is, how can you ask someone to leave if there isn't an inn? If there isn't an inn to a place to leave, how can you ask them to leave? And again, it is a reminder that there is a local gathering of members within the church. Another evidence is there in Acts 2 verse 37. There we see that there is a numerical record of those who have professed Christ and been filled with the Holy Spirit and have acknowledged that the church was tracking the growth. Acts 6 verse 1 to 6, we see the elections that take place in order to address a specific problem. Romans 16, 1 to 16, we see what appears to be an awareness of who is in church membership. 1 Timothy 5, verse 3, 16, we see a clear teaching on how to handle widows Now, things are a little bit different now. You can be a woman now and you can have a job and you can support yourself and everything's fine. Whereas in those days, women weren't able to do that. And Paul was saying, look, if you do support these women, these widows, or these people who have been made vulnerable, he says, what you do, the ones that you support, he gives a list of those who you support, those who have given themselves to the work. He says, do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man, well reported for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. In other words, you say, look, those that we have to look after are those that are committed to the church. But all too often we spend our countless hours on those that are not involved. That all they do is cause problems. And they're pursuing this and pursuing that and never become part of the Church of Jesus Christ. God's plan is that we should belong to a local church. And we need to be very careful how we run it and who we look after and what we are seen to be doing by those around. God's plan for his church is that we would belong to a local covenant community of faith. This is for our protection and our maturing and for the good of others. If we view church as some church buffet, then we severely limit the likelihood of our growing into maturity. Growth into godliness will not happen if we are not feeding from the Word of God. There is to be that interaction with one another. There is to be that seeking of the Word of God. How can I encourage my brother and my sister? I'm part of this. I know that as I care for my children or our children, Sam and Sarah, all the time you are praying for them and you're seeking their good and you do all that you can to encourage them, and that's how we should be with one another as we come together and as we join together. You see, the local church membership is a question of biblical obedience, not personal preference. We see a place where the truth is preached and we say to ourselves, I'm going to commit myself to that place and I'm going to be all that I should be and I'm going to trust God that I might be able to deliver all that God has given me to deliver. And you see, God does bless when we do that. And he does encourage. And we will grow. And my prayer, as an eldership, our prayer is that we will be all that we should be. And that as you come and as you enjoy the idiosyncrasies of us all, that God will grow you. And you will look back in years to come and you will say, I'm so glad that I committed my all to that place. That I've been fed and I've grown. And we want to be part of a place that we see God working in, don't we? So our prayer is that this is not a plea for you to become a member. That is a personal choice. But we believe in membership where we commit ourselves to a place where come under the rule of the leadership as caring, gentle pastors, but at the same time we submit ourselves to the Word of God and we say, Lord, what would you have me be for the glory of your name? Amen. Father in heaven, we do pray that we would be all that we should be and that, Lord, you would lead us and guide us. And Father, we don't always want to bow the knee. Lord, we don't want to always listen to the pastor or the elders. And Lord, as pastors and elders, there are times when we feel like washing our hands. Father, we pray that we would always be submissive to your word. And that, Lord, you would grow this fellowship and that you would add into its numbers those who are born again. those who have a passion for the things of Christ. And we can't all be what we want to be. But Lord, we can all have the desire for your work to grow. So Father, we pray that you encourage us now. Close with our final hymn. Wonderful grace that gives what I don't deserve, pays me what Christ has earned, and lets me go free.
We might have to sing this one as well, because I'm not familiar enough with this hymn to play it by ear. And right now, I can't see the ambitions of the palace.
For members, we don't want to be a church that bullies people into committing themselves, but the Lord, that we want to be a fellowship that is filled with people who have come to that decision where they say, I want to be involved and I want to give myself into the work of Jesus Christ. I want to be involved in the evangelism. I want to be involved in the prayer of this church. I want to know what it's all about. I want to come before you, Lord, and submit to the rule of the elders. Elders that love you and serve you. Elders that are willing to die for you. Elders that are gentle and merciful and kind. Lord, we pray that we would be where God has led us to be. And that your name would be glorified. Father, we ask these things in the name of our wonderful Saviour. Amen. Amen.